This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
So I did look it up to give a little perspective. Padres seemingly owned by the Rockies. Not just this year, but I mean, in recent years, the Rockies have been bad.
Yeah, I saw something yesterday. It was the last 3 years, I think they're tied, 28 and 28.
Yeah. I mean, against a team you should be owning. It's just really frustrating. It does happen, though. And I remember growing up, the shoe was kind of on the other foot. In the late 80s, Padres, of course, had that World Series run in 1984. But after that, you know, they weren't great in the latter half of the 1980s, whereas the Dodgers were a team on the rise, eventually winning the World Series in 1988. But for whatever reason, Padres owned the Dodgers in the latter half of the 80s. Even in the year that the Dodgers won the World Series, Padres went 11-7 against the Dodgers. Padres were finishing, you know, fifth, sixth, fourth in the NL West. The Dodgers going to the World Series, winning it. Padres are 14 games above 500 against the Dodgers in the latter half of the 80s. They just had their number. It's just a team, for whatever reason, they always seem to play their best against the Dodgers in that latter half of the 80s. And, you know, it was one thing you could hang your hat on. There wasn't a lot to hang your hat on right then as a Padres fan, but you could say, hey, at least we own the LA Dodgers right now. Obviously, the shoe has been on the other foot for a while. The Dodgers have owned the Padres until this year, and recent years have not won a season series against the Dodgers since 2010. But the Rockies seem to have the Padres number, at least more than they should, given the quality of the rosters, the amount that is spent on the two teams, the lack of success the Rockies have generally against other teams in baseball. Why do they have the number of the San Diego Padres? I don't know. Filing under the that's baseball that Buddy Black, the manager of the Rockies, is so fond of that expression. So that's a little perspective from growing up when the shoe was actually on the other foot and it worked in favor of the Padres.
Just, you know, it can't go on because they're not going to be good for a while. You know, they don't have a lot of organizational depth. They don't spend a lot of money. You got to figure out a way. It was such a key to the season for us when we are going through everything that's important to the San Diego Padres this year. It was literally, just don't get bodied by the Dodgers. Okay, no problem. Check. And you have to handle business against the Rockies. You can drop one here or there, but it can't be, we've won twice, they've won four times. That's got to even out. You win today, you're 3-4. You have more chances against them. You can't lose to those guys anymore. You really can't. And I know they're a big league team. I know their guys are trying. I understand it.
I mean, even if you won the rest of the games, what, it's seven more against the Rockies, you're probably going, 9-4 was kind of the minimum I was hoping for. That was
correct.
That's like the bare minimum I was hoping for.
And now you got to win seven in a row.
And now that's the best you can do if you win seven in a row, which,
man,
let's be honest, they probably aren't going to do. They're going to find a way to lose at least a couple more, if not more, to the Rockies this season because they are that frustrating and that much of a thorn in the side of your San Diego Padres.
Jay Joe says it'll be hilarious when the Pods miss the playoffs by four or five games, and those games are the Rockies. Our definition of hilarious is different. I won't be laughing at all.
Do you think that's going to break Ben? I'm going to fall out of my chair laughing like, the Padres, they missed the playoffs. But two games and then lost all those games to the Rockies.
I will not
find that funny.
That will not be my favorite thing. You listen, you know, playoffs are a long way away. They got a lot of work to do, man. A lot of work to do. Didn't get the job done. They have not gotten the job done at home, which is the thing that really bugs me the most. 10 and 15 at home is just not good. 12 and 8 on the road, 10 and 15 at home bums me out more than losing to the Rockies. It's just tough. It's tough. It's a tough look for those guys to play so poorly at home. And, you know, the battle back and all that notwithstanding, it just, it's a bad look, man, to do that to the fan base. Oh, let's talk for a second, though. Did you hear before? Are you doing something?
I just want to get a contestant on the line for Take on Woods while you do this. So call now, 833-288-0973. Our chance to take on Woods. Win the trip to Las Vegas coming up in a couple of minutes. I always like to give you a chance to dial us up and just stay on hold. No one's going to answer the phone, but if you hear the like click and you hear the station, then you're in queue for Take on Woods. So call now, 833-288-0973.
My wife went to the game last night with her mom.
You weren't there. I saw her pictures, and I was wondering. What, I don't know if Woods is there.
No, but I was being crap dad at home, as usual, so went to dinner with the kids. And
remember, if you question your skill as a parent, you're probably a good parent. If you just assume you're a good parent, that's when you have problems.
Yeah, 100%. I had a nice time with the boys. You know, it's peaks and valleys, right? We go to dinner and they start acting up, and then they have a new thing where they go, "You're being mean to us." And I'm like, I'm not being mean. I'm your dad. This is how I talk, right? So anyway, we go home. I'm watching the game and I start to hear the boos raining down. So when Hannah got home, she goes, "I've never heard Petco boo like that." And I said, "Good, good." I think that that's inherently a good thing. Just like us, I just got a DM from a guy who goes, "Man, I can't believe you guys just, you get attacked when they lose." And I go, "Bro, it's the worst part of the job, but I totally understand it and I do appreciate the passion. Where do you guys stand on the booze? I'm absolutely fine with it. Those are paying customers. As long as you're not threatening people's lives and throwing batteries at them, boo all you want.
It would be weird. If Manny Machado hit into a third double play
and four at-bats
and everyone just stood and cheered and
just sat there quietly.
I mean, that is a natural response. My guessing even the players in the dugout, they're not going to boo, but internally they're probably booing.
Yeah, like, booing themselves.
It's just, I mean, that's your feeling when your team's not doing well.
Just deflation, right?
That's how you express it when you're in the stands. Doesn't mean you hate them. Doesn't mean you're not going to cheer. There was really loud cheers when the Padres scored their three runs.
100%.
Brought Jake up as the tying run there, and he ripped one to Jake Cave, as you said, Ken Griffey Jr. in his prime out there in right field to make another play. But, they were there. They were involved in the game. They were into the game. I think that's all you can ask of fans.
I think that is a decent response, a good way to let them know, this isn't cool. I don't like this. And I think, you know, San Diego's gotten the narrative. We certainly wear it all the time of being soft and whatever else. But like,
I disagree with Mike Cameron that it's going to make them play better.
Cameron Maben.
Oh, that's right. Cameron Maben.
Yeah.
That it's going to make them play. That's weird. They were both Padres center fielders.
I'd love to have Mike Cameron on the show.
I would love to talk to Mike Cameron. I disagree that that is what's going to inspire them to play better. It just they already would like to play better. No one wants to go up and wrap into a double play. I promise you, Manny least among them, wants to go up there and wrap into a double play. He's not up there next time thinking, I better not do that or I'm going to get booed again. So,
no,
but I do think it's absolutely fine for the fans to express their frustration.
And I did see tweets saying, I don't like this. You know, I don't like this. And then Nicole in the chat said there should never be any booing for our home team. I don't really agree. I don't agree. I think that booing is maybe the healthiest way to get it out, right? It doesn't hurt anyone. It lets you know. Like, did you hear the little mini cheer when Manny took a pitch last night? When it was a pitch out of the zone, he took it. There was like a mini Bronx cheer in the background for him taking a pitch. That's, in my opinion, that's pretty intelligent baseball fandom. That is. It is. And I think the fans have done enough by packing that ballpark and buying incredible amounts of merch and doing all the things that they've done. I think fans have always had a right to boo. I really do. And I think that when they play like crap against a subpar team, I don't think there's anything wrong with booing. Their feelings aren't hurt. They're very well compensated. Like, their feelings aren't hurt. I think you cheer when they do something good. You boo when they do something crappy. And I just have never had a problem with booing. Where it crosses the line for me is what this is the one that really gets me. I'll see DMs to players. I'll see people. You know, somebody will post a picture of them and their kids at Little League. It's not him, but Jerkson Profar, for example. It's hard to say anything about Jerkson, but somebody would write on his Instagram feed, like, you're a bum, or, you know, figure it out. That, to me, is crossing the line a little bit. But going and booing somebody's performance, I've never had a problem with
that. I would speculate, and I don't think I've ever asked this of a big league ball player, but I'd speculate that the vast majority of them, if you gave them the option and said, all right, you're in a rough slump right now, you're just not hitting it well, you're at home, would you rather have 40,000 people there booing you?
Or 12 people.
3,000 people not saying anything and just sitting there and doing nothing.
40,000.
I think they'd still the big crowd, you know, expressing themselves than playing in front of no one. They want to play in front of people. When you play in front of people and you don't play well, you get booed.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it works.
And I like
better
this.
Than the alternative.
This makes sense. William just nailed it. He says, leave it at the ballpark. 100%. Leave it at the ballpark. Don't go to social media and DM people and things like that. I mean, look, I hate when it happens to me. I'm not out there playing, making $40 million a year. I hate when it happens to me. I can't imagine. I don't know how much they really care, but you can see it get to some guys, DMs and stuff, tell them that they're, you know, bums and this and that. Do it at the game, man. Boo them at the game. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right, let's get to today's game. It's time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
All right, we're going to go to Jared for our contestant today. Good morning, Jared. How are
ben,
you?
He went to Jared.
We went to Jared.
Well, how are you guys?
Could only be Jared. All right, Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Woods has left the studio. So, Jared, the floor is yours. If you can beat or tie Woods, we're going to put you into the drawing. First one would be in for the two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two tickets to Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra on June 22nd. An unforgettable night of pure rock bliss. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Here are the categories you have to choose from. We have A View to a Killer. Killer, the key for all the questions and answers there. Soundtracks of the 90s. That one's a little different. Give you three songs. You got to tell me the movie all three were on the soundtrack in from the 1990s. And our new category, In the Year of Our Lord. Those are five different songs that include years in the title. So, Jared, A View to a Killer, Soundtracks of the 90s, or In the Year of Our Lord. What would you like to play?
Let's try Soundtracks of the 90s.
Ooh, all right. We have not done one like this before. Today's game a little different. So, again, I will give you three song titles. You need to tell me which movie soundtrack all three songs appeared in together. All of them well-known movies from the 90s. But you got to know your stuff, I think, to get this one right. We'll see how you do. Jared, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, no two-second song, so your time begins when I give you the first list of three songs. Remember, we're looking for the movie title on all of these. Are you ready to play? Yes, you are. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Time begins when I start reading. Good luck, Jared. Let's Take on Woods. Trust in Me by Joe Cocker. I'm Every Woman by Whitney Houston. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Jeez.
Pass. Jungle Boogie by Kool & the Gang. Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon by Urge Overkill. Son of a Preacher Man by Dusty Springfield.
The Blues Brothers.
Incorrect. Wood by Alice in Chains. State of Love and Trust by Pearl Jam. Breath by Pearl Jam.
Pass.
Stay by Lisa Loeb. My Sharona by The Knack. Tempted by Squeeze.
Man, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
Pass.
Lust for Life by Iggy Pop. Perfect Day by Lou Reed. Temptation by New Order.
I don't know, guys.
You all right. Yeah. Yes. It's too bad. I thought this might be a fun category. We'll see how Woods does.
Back-to-back zeros.
Yeah. We just so far, it's been Woods' month. Let's bring him back in. I'll have to explain this category to him. All right, we got something different today.
Sorry, I was out there watching baby Gronk videos.
Were you?
Yes, I was.
Is he back?
He's right, back, so, and better than ever, Paulie.
So here's how this one works. I'm going to give you three song titles. You have to tell me which movie soundtrack they all appeared on together.
Okay.
This is soundtracks of the 90s. Okay. All right, 60 seconds. Your time begins when I start reading. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Jared. Trust in Me by Joe Cocker. I'm Every Woman by Whitney Houston. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
The Bodyguard.
Correct. Jungle Boogie by Kool & the Gang. Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon by Urge Overkill.
Pulp Fiction.
Correct. Wood by Alice in Chains. Correct. Stay by Lisa Loeb. My Sharona by The Knack. Tempted by Squeeze.
That is Reality Bites.
Correct. Lust for Life by Iggy Pop. Perfect Day by Lou Reed. Temptation by New Order.
Is that Trainspotting?
It is.
Wow.
Considering Jared didn't get a single one of those, and you just blew through them five for five, that was one of the more impressive performances.
Sorry, Jared.
In a category that I have seen before.
Whew, man.
Those are all movies from the 90s. You got all of them very quickly. You know your soundtrack.
I do. I love soundtracks.
I'm going to bring back that category again at some point.
Big fan.
So study up on your movie soundtracks out there, people, because there will be another opportunity to do that in the future. All right,
like
no winners yet this month. We've got Don't Do This coming up next. I know Mike Schilt is unrelentingly positive and almost frustratingly so. We're going to show you what the alternative looks like in Don't Do This.
Now, many people will like this. We'll just play the audio. It's spectacular.
We're going to show you the alternative when we come back with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. So Mike Schilt, even after the toughest of losses, usually sees a silver lining and has some positive things to say about his team after the game. For some fans, it can be hard to even listen to. Very frustrating when the manager is so relentlessly positive. You want to hear a manager rip his own player, right? For failing to come through. Well, have an example for you last night. Comes from the Cardinals-Angels game, and manager Ron Washington, who at one point was possibly very close to being a Padres manager in the past. So the Cardinals had jumped out to a 5-0 lead. The Angels rallied. Then the Cardinals went back ahead. It was a 7-6 game, eighth inning, runner at third base, less than two outs. Luis Guillorme is at the plate. And Ron Washington calls for the suicide squeeze.
Ooh, mama.
Aggressive call by the manager. Jojo Romero on the mound. And Luis Guillorme gets a pitch. He's a left-handed hitter.
Yep, left-handed pitcher.
He gets a pitch that is way outside in the right-handed batter's box and misses it. Zach Neto, who's coming home from third, he's tagged out. And the inning ends up without the Angels scoring, and they lose by one run. Unfortunate situation. Here was what, though, Ron Washington had to say about the incident after the game.
Lefty on lefty. I didn't sink a ball with left-hander. I didn't want him to hit into a double play. He can handle the bat. He didn't do the job. It wasn't anything I did wrong. He didn't do the job. I would have rather went to the ninth inning with a 6-6 lead.
Of course.
Than went to the ninth inning the way we did.
How do you get
it
a 6-6 lead?
What's a 6-6 lead?
What is a 6-6 lead?
What do you think of some of the at-bats tonight from Schonerwell and Paris? And good ones against...
No, very good ones. We fell behind 5-0. We fought back.
Oh.
We tied the ball game. We had a good matchup. Lefty got us. End of the game, the home run the lefty hit was the game.
So
we tried to do something to get back in the game. It didn't work in our favor.
I don't mind.
Well,
it.
I mean,
there's one part.
So he explains the rationale for calling
for the suicide.
The suicide squeeze. But ultimately it was foiled by a pitch that was almost unbuntable. I mean, you can try to say that nothing's unbuntable, but it was almost a pitch out, essentially. You know, either they knew what was coming, they had stolen some signs, or they reacted. Maybe Guillorme tipped it too early, and that would be on him.
Actually, he didn't. He didn't. He didn't get around early enough.
It didn't look like he did. But
listen to the rest of the clip.
When a pitcher is that wild, does that make it a little tougher to?
Wow, he was throwing the ball in the strike zone.
He wasn't.
Why are you making excuses? He was throwing the ball in the strike zone. He did not get the bunt down. Period.
I have like little to no problem with that. The only thing...
But that ball wasn't in the strike zone. It wasn't close to the strike zone.
But it's suicide, you have to bunt it. If it's up, if it's down, you have no choice. You're going to get your guy killed at home plate. So wherever... It's the worst call you can get if you're standing at the plate.
Oh, God.
Suicide squeeze. Wherever it goes... You have to.
So you don't think Ron throwing his player under the bus is it? Don't do this.
So no, the only thing that bothered me about it was him saying it was his fault. It wasn't my fault. That is just the one little thing that irks me. But the rest of it, I called for a suicide squeeze. He didn't get the job done, and you know that's what happens. I have no problem with it really, but it's just the whole thing of saying nothing I did wrong. I love Ron Washington. I do. He's an absolute treasure. But that suicide squeeze, no matter where it fits, you got to get it down. You really, really got to get it down. So, yeah.
It was way outside.
It was. Oh, it was a tough pitch to bunt, but it's an easy out if you don't do it. It's such a ballsy call. It really is. I think I like my chances there swinging. I really do, with a runner on third and one out. I really, really do. I feel for Ron as well, as Bill just said. But I don't really mind that. And he's done that, guys, all season long. This isn't new. I mean, he had no problem going after Joe Adell, who, by the way, is playing spectacularly right now for the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles.
LA Angels.
LA Angels. So he, this is how he's always been. He's old school as it gets, and I kind of like it. I do. I kind of like it. He'd be another one that's fun to cover. Mike Schilt's pretty fun to cover. Wash would be next level.
All right, speaking of managers, let's stick with that for more Don't Do This.
Well, our pal Skip Schumacher, I have not seen many managers in baseball unejected. I have seen managers ejected plenty of times, and you guys may remember the Aaron Boone situation from a couple weeks ago where Booney got thrown out for a fan saying something because Hunter Wendelstedt thought it came from him.
Caught in 4K.
Clearly said nothing. And he gets run from the game. So this one was a little bit different. It was the Tigers taking on the Marlins and some chirping. It was early chirping from the dugout. They warned Skip. He said, "All right, I won't say anything."
Camera was on him the entire time.
So eventually somebody else says something. They run Skip right away. Boom, you're gone. So Skip runs out, hands extended. What? I didn't say a word.
Okay, we're good, he says.
He's talking to the umpires, and then he just says, all right, he swallows his words, does not say whatever he was thinking.
And then he's sitting there,
and then
he gets run.
This is second, you're right, it is an Aaron Boone situation here.
We can safely say he literally wasn't saying anything. So now they're going to have like a usual suspects DVD cover lineup and say, who is it that said something?
And then the umpire actually says, and they catch him on camera saying, whoever it was has to go. So he said, they told me to pick somebody. This can't happen.
Execute one member of your staff now.
Pick one. Who is it?
You're going to vote one off the island.
Who's it going to be, man?
If you don't pick one, I'm going to pick one for you.
It's hard, too, in those sparsely attended.
They should have brought a lie detector test out.
Did you say it? Yeah, we got one off Amazon. Yeah, we still have
Could
one.
Could it have been a fan in the second row, like it was in the Aaron Boone situation?
It just, in those sparsely attended games.
Then you go, it was the backup bat boy.
You can hear.
Don't need.
You can hear everything. You can hear everything. And so there's 14 people there, and you hear like, hey, shut your mouth. And then he just goes, pick somebody. What? That can't be. You can't throw somebody out if you don't know who said it. You can't just go over randomly. I want to throw somebody out today. Holy cow.
You have to have a specific person to throw out of the game.
Yes, exactly.
Now, in the Aaron Boone situation, the umpire said, hey, you're responsible for what's said in your dugout. I heard it from your dugout. You're the one who's gone.
Now, it wasn't even our dugout.
They didn't do that for Skip Schumacher.
They unejected Skip. So I texted him this morning. I go, you ever been unejected before? Unejected. You're gone. Actually, you can stay. It's like me with my kids.
Good argument. I changed my mind. We'll get rid of someone else.
God, they're
He was so... around, though, for a 1-0 win.
Yeah.
Walk-off in the 10th inning, right?
That's exactly right.
All right. Finally, quickly, do this.
DD mega doo-doo.
I mean, we need some positive Padres news, right? How about right-hander Adam Mazur promoted from Double A San Antonio to Triple A El Paso yesterday and comes right out in his first start for the Chihuahuas with a quality start, 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits. Always a tough environment to pitch in the Pacific Coast League. Seems like they're putting him to a little bit of a final test before they maybe bring him up to the big leagues.
Yeah.
A lot of guys just go straight from Double A to the big leagues, especially. But
I saw a lot of people. I saw a lot of people just panicked that they were going to send him to El Paso and his confidence was going to go down the crapper.
Yeah, but he didn't. He pitched really well. Mazur had gone 3-1 with a 1.95 ERA, 32 strikeouts, 0.87 whip, and 6 starts in Double A. Now he's off to a good start in Triple A. The question now is how many more starts do you need to see before you give him an opportunity on the big league level? Is he the next guy who gets a chance when you need another spot started? Looks like Joe Musgrove might be back this weekend.
That'd be great.
Against Atlanta. But if you need another starter, is Adam Mazur the next option from the minor leagues? He's certainly making his case right now.
Yeah, I think that is a very qualifying of a do this for sure.
And that is don't and do this for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm checking my texts. No, we do not have Adam Jones. He's in meetings right now.
Meetings?
Okay. Meetings.
All right, that's fine.
So I'm going to pivot for a second. I just I got challenged by my buddy. He said, would you... I told him, I gave him one of my opinions, and he said, you wouldn't say that on the radio. And I said, yeah, I would say that on the radio. Oh, he says, you're going to offend some people. I said, I don't think so, but I guess you guys can be the judge if I'm offending people or not with my next opinion.
I do not like this game.
You listening in your car, at home, or wherever, can choose to believe this or not. Woods and I have.
I have no idea.
No idea.
I know.
No idea what he's talking about.
This is what happens when Adam Jones is in meetings, apparently.
Oh, boy.
You get a surprise content with Ben and Woods coming up next on 97.3 The Fan. This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Very nervous about this.
It almost felt like it was terrified. A challenge here. Like, you wouldn't say that on the air, would you? I go, yeah, I would. I absolutely would. And I will share that opinion with you right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So this is my buddy Scott, who I just played golf with a couple of weeks ago. And we do majors picks. Every time there's a golf major, we will pick, draft like five guys, and we got a little bet that we do against each other every single major. So we did our picks yesterday for the PGA Championship, which begins tomorrow. And I selected Rory McIlroy as one of my picks. And he texted me this morning and said, did you know that Rory had just filed for divorce from his wife, Erica?
I saw that.
When you made that pick. They had been married, I think, 7 years, have the little three-year-old Poppy, little cute girl.
Bummer.
And it's a bummer. It's a sad story. Seemed like a really good relationship. Have no idea what happened in it. And I said to him, yes, I did know that, and it actually factored into my choice of Rory McIlroy. And he said, you can't say that on the air. And I said, I absolutely can. And here's my thought process behind it. Divorce is not something that you, like, on the whim, like, you know, you had a bad evening on Sunday, and then Monday you woke up and filed for divorce. It's probably something that has been stressful for both of them for months or even the last couple of years.
Sure.
And it's finally in the last stages of resolution. You know, filing for divorce is the last step and was probably a very long, difficult, and ugly process for both of them. And if there's any sign that that could actually be true, that Rory is actually emerging from the stress of whatever was going on in his life and hasn't really shared it, even on the Netflix documentary, you saw none of that with Rory. He's won twice. He won the team event. He won last week. He's playing really good golf. And it's not necessarily because he's not, you know, with his wife anymore, but it seems as though he had something going on in his personal life that was very stressful and difficult, and perhaps he is emerging from that in a different place. I also heard mention that the last time that Rory went through a big breakup was 2014. Remember, he used to go out with tennis star Caroline Wozniacki.
I did not know that.
They did. And then in 2014, they broke up, and he went on a huge winning streak that year as well.
That's amazing.
Emerging from that relationship. So, yes, it was part of my equation. Now, I have no idea what went on behind the scenes. I assume it's, you know, one of those situations that it's private, it's a relationship, it's difficult. I'm not saying that Rory is, you know, getting some sort of benefit from being single Rory and, you know, going out, oh, now he can be himself or whatever. No, it's not that. I just assumed it was probably really stressful and difficult, whatever was going on. And hopefully they're, you know, figuring it out and getting to a place that I think they filed for, like, joint custody, hopefully not, you know, too unamicable, whatever is going to go on, and wish the best for all of them. But Rory seems to be playing well right now for whatever reason, and I decided to pick him this week for the PGA Championship.
I don't think it's that hot of a take. You know, I don't. I think he's also just playing really well, which helps. Now, Tiger Woods, when he was doing his deeds,
yes,
there was no better golfer in the world.
True.
When he stopped doing his deeds is when
then
he
I don't
declined.
Know if Rory's doing or not doing
right,
any
right.
deeds. I've
yeah.
got no idea.
Exactly.
But I also didn't pick Scottie Scheffler, and I always pick Scottie Scheffler. I think he's the best golfer on the planet right now, and part of my thinking was he just had the baby. It's been occupying their lives and their minds. Having a baby is exhausting and stressful. I don't think he's going to be playing his best golf. Now, he said, you know, I got a lot of practice in. I feel like I'm ready to go. I don't feel like, you know, the 3 weeks off is going to hurt me. But I didn't expect Scotty to play his best golf after having a baby. And he goes, so you'll pick the guy who's going through the divorce, but you won't pick the guy who just had a baby. And I go, yes, it's just different circumstances entirely.
Well, it also doesn't hurt that he's also swinging it well, super well.
Of course.
Somebody
does one have anything to do with the other? I don't know.
Andros said, I'm offended that you thought that would offend us.
Now, say, Scott thought it would.
Now, your buddy Scott is more buttoned up than you are, you said.
He's so, like mud. He goes all the way to the top. The top button, and then Don that doesn't want to do that, but yeah.
Scott, we talk about way dirtier things than that on this
That's
program.
That's what I thought, too.
By the way, just as an aside, Last week was a very sexy week on Ben and Woods. It was very, very adult. And I got a couple DMs, one from a sweet, sweet mom. She goes, come on, guys, driving the kid to work, to school. We're talking potty talk. And I said, you know what? You're right. I did, for a second, get a little defensive. And I went, ah, come on. You know, this is our a show for adults. I love that kids listen. I really do. I think it's great. We have to do a better job. This is called accountability. We have to do a better job at saying, this is not hard to do. Hey, parents, driving your kids to school, this is an adult conversation about a nude cruise. You may want to turn it down for a few minutes.
Just rest assured, we'll still talk about nude cruises.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to change our content really for anything, but I need to do a better job at warning warning people, hey, you're driving in school, this may get a little adult, just turn the volume down, right?
All right, we may be talking about the San Diego Padres coming up, so
may want to turn your radio down.
Conversation could turn to an adult nature at any moment when we discuss the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of golf, a reminder that signups are open. We announced it last Friday for the third annual-ish Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open. It's coming to Goat Hill Park on June 19th. That's a Wednesday. We've got a morning shotgun at 8 a.m. and a 1 p.m. shotgun available. Food, beverages, prizes, and all kinds of raffle items that we've got available, including, can I announce this? Is this official?
Oh, yeah.
We've got the Odyssey Suite up for grabs as well. So make sure you sign up for the tournament and your chance to come out and win some great auction items. It's all to benefit the North County Junior Golf Association. Goat Hill is an amazing, amazing place. I think you're going to have a lot of fun. Even if you're not like an expert golfer, it's short enough that you can get there. But if you are a good golfer, it's tough enough that you're going to get the challenge and get the fun of playing. I think it's the best of both worlds at Goat Hill. We're keeping the field a little smaller this year, so hopefully it's not a 6.5 hour round like it was last year at RBN, which was a great host spot as well. But we had a lot of people. We're trying to split them up and keep it a little smaller this year. You but know, that means you should probably sign up now if you want to be make sure you have a spot a little over a month from now on June 19th.
And it just occurred to me, and let's noodle this around on the air because we don't really have anything else to do. Adam Jones is busy in meetings right now. What if we had a prize? And what if the prize for winning the golf tournament, instead of a raffle, you know, you buy a $10 raffle ticket or whatever and put it in a jar and hope that we pull your number. What if the prize was you win the suite?
Do you want to include that as the prize?
Yeah, a prize.
I don't want anyone to be cheating at golf just to win the big prize.
Yeah, who would ever cheat in a scramble? Oh, you guys came in at minus 69. How'd you do that? Really incredible.
We can discuss that.
I like a prize idea, though.
Callaway's got some laser engraved wedges, I think they're going to come up with as well. We're still working on all of it, but it should be pretty spectacular that day. A lot of fun for everybody. So make sure you go to our social media channels in our YouTube chat. We'll tweet it out again. The link, you can go to the QR code, whatever. It takes you right to the sign up page.
I think it'd be fun to actually have something to play for. I really do. Yeah. Instead of just, you know, whatever, a driver. Not there's anything wrong with a driver or something like that. We can still give that stuff away. But it's our tourney. We can do whatever we want.
That is true.
We have Ben's Glory Hole out there where you are going to be taking people on for closest.
There it was. Yep. Glory Hole.
Closest to the pin. I'm working on getting a sign made that everyone will know when they get to Ben's Glory Hole. And I can't. It's where you get glory if you beat Ben.
Right.
Right. That's it. Nothing else. No double meaning there, parents driving your kids to school.
Right. Not at all.
The place that you find and achieve glory.
Non-adult content here on Ben and Woods.
It's going to be a very, very, very fun day. It always is a very fun day. Would love to see you guys out there playing and having some fun, having some cocktails with us and whatever. It's a holiday, June 19th, so we'd love to see you.
Our company holiday as well. Yep. So we weren't going to be on the air that day either way, but now you can still spend the day with Ben and Woods by coming out to the Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open. One more golf before we move on, because Jon Rahm came out with some comments that angered a lot of the golf world. He's obviously there at Valhalla in Kentucky getting ready for the PGA Championship, took the money, went to live last year, was one of the staunchest supporters of the PGA Tour, and got into a little back and forth in his pre-tournament news conference and said something that shocked some people. Here's Jon Rahm yesterday.
It's going to be almost a year now since the PGA Tour and LIV came together, or PIF came together with a framework agreement that is still sitting there on the sidelines. Obviously, when you went over, you had certain thoughts about why you went. You see now what seems to be somewhat disarray going on in the PGA Tour. Rory wanting to get back on the board, not getting back on the board. Jimmy Dunn leaving yesterday off the board, saying that his voice is no longer valuable to the board. When you're looking from the other side, which is where you are now, what are your thoughts?
So you guys keep saying the other side, but I'm still a PGA Tour member, whether suspended or not. I still want to support the PGA Tour. And I think that's an important distinction to make. I don't feel like I'm on the other side. I'm just not playing there. That's at least personally.
He doesn't think
I wouldn't know what to say because it would just be not hearsay, but hypothetical. Let me just pause it there.
So John Rahm doesn't think he's on the side of LIV Golf.
He
doesn't think that taking $500 million and playing for LIV, don't paint me into that corner. Don't put me on the side of LIV Golf. I'm still a PGA Tour member. If they hadn't suspended me, I'd still be playing on the PGA Tour. Why would you say I'm on the other side? Well, this did not sit well in the golf community. And one person who had something to say about it, former PGA Tour pro and commentator Aaron Oberholzer, had this to say on the Golf Channel a little bit later. Listen to this.
Oh, go. Is there more audio?
Yeah, the second clip that I sent you. The good one.
Peak, Ben and Woods. Peak. Thanks a lot, Adam Jones. Thanks a lot.
No, we're playing 5 minutes of golf.
Your reaction. He doesn't get it. He's, to this day, he doesn't get it. And this is a guy who wanted a position or wanted to be heard, from what I understand. Either a board position, policy board. He wanted to be heard on this whole thing before he went to LIV. And I feel like he wasn't as heard as much as he probably should have been. And now I'm glad he wasn't in that position because he doesn't get it. As a PGA Tour player and as a PGA Tour member, still a card-carrying PGA Tour member and someone who supports the PGA Tour, not happy with what's going on right now, obviously, but supports the PGA Tour, I'm incensed by that, quite honestly, by the level of, to your point, of naivete, that you don't get it. You still don't get it. You took 500 large, and then you're going to sit there and tell me, oh, you still feel like a PGA Tour member? I want to support the PGA Tour, and I want the I want to wring his neck through the television. I'm that mad right now. I'm that mad. I mean, and every player in that locker room right now, if they watch that, should be on the PGA Tour, should be absolutely incensed with him.
Wow. Pause. I want to have my cake.
Pause, wow. Pause, pause. Wow, wow, wow.
Now, if we've learned anything about this entire 15 minutes, is that I think the thing that we can glean from it, Ben has really different definitions of what spicy is than me, Paul, the majority of our audience. Thanks.
I don't know. You don't think that threatening someone's neck is spicy?
Coming up next.
I would have rather just replayed Adam Jones's interview from last week.
Coming up next, milk, the hottest drink in the land. I don't know how to
that
recover.
Does qualify for spicy in the world of golf. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about that. That qualifies as very spicy in golf.
I'm in a death spiral. Right now, I'm in a death spiral. Okay. We just regroup it. That's why we have the hard 8 a.m. reset. And
should I feel
we
insulted?
Have a gift
no,
right now?
No, it's not your fault.
We have a gift for Ben.
We do have a gift over to us.
And I don't know that he deserves it now.
Somebody found this.
It's great content. And I'm like, I think it needs to wait until tomorrow.
I think we have to play it to pull ourselves out.
Did I really
of...
do something wrong
No,
there?
You didn't do anything okay. wrong. You did not do
no, you're
anything
authentically
wrong.
Yourself.
You are always you, and for that, I love you.
I was very intrigued by that story yesterday.
I know you were. Coming up next, milk is spicy, actually, on Ben and Woods. Why water is not good for you.
All right, we're back next on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away. This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Very nervous about this.
It almost felt like it was a challenge here. Like, you wouldn't say that on the air, would you? I go, yeah, I would. I absolutely would. And I will share that opinion with you right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So this is my buddy Scott, who I just played golf with a couple of weeks ago. And we do majors picks. Every time there's a golf major, we will pick, draft like five guys, and we got a little bet that we do against each other every single major. So we did our picks yesterday for the PGA Championship, which begins tomorrow. And I selected Rory McIlroy as one of my picks. And he texted me this morning and said, did you know that Rory had just filed for divorce from his wife, Erica?
I saw that.
When you made that pick, they had been married, I think, 7 years, have the little 3-year-old Poppy, a little cute girl.
Bummer.
And it's a bummer. It's a sad story. Seemed like a really good relationship. Don't have no idea what happened in it. And I said to him, yes, I did know that. And it actually factored into my choice of Rory McIlroy. And he said, you can't say that on the air. And I said, I absolutely can. And here's my thought process behind it. Divorce is not something that you, like, on the whim, like, you know, you had a bad evening on Sunday, and then Monday you woke up and filed for divorce. It's probably something that has been stressful for both of them for months or even the last couple of years.
Sure.
And is finally in the last stages of resolution. You know, filing for divorce is the last step and was probably a very long, difficult, and ugly process for both of them. And if there's any sign that that could actually be true, that Rory is actually emerging from the stress of whatever was going on in his life and hasn't really shared it, even on the Netflix documentary, you saw none of that with Rory. He's won twice. He won the team event. He won last week. He's playing really good golf. And it's not necessarily because he's not, you know, with his wife anymore, but it seems as though he had something going on in his personal life that was very stressful and difficult, and perhaps he is emerging from that in a different place. I also heard mention that the last time that Rory went through a big breakup was 2014. Remember, he used to go out with tennis star Caroline Wozniacki.
I did not know that.
They did. And then in 2014, they broke up, and he went on a huge winning streak that year as well.
That's amazing.
Emerging from that relationship. So, yes, it was part of my equation. Now, I have no idea what went on behind the scenes. I assume it's, you know, one of those situations that it's private, it's a relationship, it's difficult. I'm not saying that Rory is, you know, getting some sort of benefit from being single Rory and, you know, going out, oh, now he can be himself or whatever. No, it's not that. I just assumed it was probably really stressful and difficult, whatever was going on. And hopefully they're, you know, figuring it out and getting to a place that I think they filed for, like, joint custody, hopefully not, you know, too unamicable, whatever is going to go on, and wish the best for all of them. But Rory seems to be playing well right now for whatever reason, and I decided to pick him this week for the PGA Championship.
I don't think it's that hot of a take. You know, I don't. I think he's also just playing really well, which helps. Now, Tiger Woods, when he was doing his deeds,
yes,
there was no better golfer in the world.
True.
When he stopped doing his deeds is when
then
he
I don't
declined.
Know if Rory's doing or not doing
right,
any
right,
deeds.
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
Exactly.
But I also didn't pick Scottie Scheffler, and I always pick Scottie Scheffler. I think he's the best golfer on the planet right now, and part of my thinking was he just had the baby. It's been occupying their lives and their minds. Having a baby is exhausting and stressful. I don't think he's going to be playing his best golf. Now, he said, you know, I got a lot of practice in. I feel like I'm ready to go. I don't feel like, you know, the 3 weeks off is going to hurt me. But I didn't expect Scotty to play his best golf after having a baby. And he goes, so you'll pick the guy who's going through the divorce, but you won't pick the guy who just had a baby. And I go, yes, it's just different circumstances entirely.
Well, it also doesn't hurt that he's also swinging it well, super well.
Of course.
Somebody
does said, one have anything to do with the other? I don't know.
Andros said, I'm offended that you thought that would offend us.
Now, say, Scott thought it would.
Now, your buddy Scott is more buttoned up than you are, you said.
He's so, like mud. He goes all the way
to the top.
The top button, and then Don that doesn't want to do that, but yeah.
Scott, we talk about way dirtier things than that on this
That's
program.
That's what I thought, too.
By the way, just as an aside, last week was a very sexy week on Ben and Woods. It was very, very adult. And I got a couple DMs, one from a sweet, sweet mom. She goes, come on, guys, I'm driving the kid to work, to school. We're talking potty talk. And I said, you know what? You're right. I did, for a second, get a little defensive. And I went, come on. You know, this is our show for adults. I love that kids listen. I really do. I think it's great. we have to do a better job. This is called accountability. We have to do a better job at saying, this is not hard to do. Hey, parents, driving your kids to school, this is an adult conversation about a nude cruise. You may want to turn it down for a few minutes.
Just rest assured, we'll still talk about nude cruises.
Yeah. I'm not going to change our content really for anything, but I need to do a better job at warning people, hey, you're driving in school, this may get a little adult. Just turn the volume down, right?
All right. We may be talking about the San Diego Padres coming up. So
may want to turn the radio down.
Conversation could turn to an adult nature at any moment when we discuss the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of golf, a reminder that signups are open. We announced it last Friday for the third annual-ish Chrome Tour Benin Woods Open. It's coming to Goat Hill Park on June 19th. That's a Wednesday. We've got a morning shotgun at 8 a.m. and a 1 p.m. shotgun available. Food, beverages, prizes, and all kinds of raffle items that we've got available, including, can I announce this? Is this official?
Oh, yeah.
We've got the Odyssey Suite up for grabs as well. So make sure you sign up for the tournament and your chance to come out and win some great auction items. It's all to benefit the North County Junior Golf Association. Goat Hill is an amazing, amazing place. I think you're going to have a lot of fun. Even if you're not like an expert golfer, it's short enough that you can get there. But if you are a good golfer, it's tough enough that you're going to get the challenge and get the fun of playing. I think it's the best of both worlds at Goat Hill. We're keeping the field a little smaller this year, so hopefully it's not a 6.5-hour round like it was last year at RBN, which was a great host spot as well. But we had a lot of people. We're trying to split them up and keep it a little smaller this year. That means you should probably sign up now if you want to be make sure you have a spot a little over a month from now on June 19th.
And it just occurred to me, and let's noodle this around on the air because we don't really have anything else to do. Adam Jones is busy in meetings right now. What if we had a prize? And what if the prize for winning the golf tournament, instead of a raffle, you know, you buy a $10 raffle ticket or whatever and put it in a jar and hope that we pull your number. What if the prize was you win the suite?
Do you want to include that as the prize?
Yeah, a prize.
I don't want anyone to be cheating at golf just to win the big prize.
Yeah, would ever cheat in a scramble? Oh, you guys came in at minus 69. How'd you do that? Really incredible.
We can discuss that.
I like the prize idea, though.
Callaway's got some laser engraved wedges, I think they're going to come up with as well. We're still working on all of it, but it should be pretty spectacular that day. A lot of fun for everybody. So make sure you go to our social media channels in our YouTube chat. We'll tweet it out again. The link, you can go to the QR code, whatever. It takes you right to the sign up page.
I think it'd be fun to actually have something to play for. I really do. Yeah. Instead of just, you know, whatever, a driver. Not that there's anything wrong with a driver or something like that. We can still give that stuff away. But it's our tourney. We can do whatever we want.
That is true.
We have Ben's Glory Hole out there where you are going to be taking people on for closest.
There it was. Yep. Glory Hole.
Closest to the pin. I'm working on getting a sign made that everyone will know when they get to Ben's Glory Hole. And I can't. It's where you get glory if you beat Ben.
Right.
Right. That's it. Nothing else. No double meaning there, parents driving your kids to school.
Right. Not at all.
The place that you find and achieve glory.
Non-adult content here on Ben and Woods.
It's going to be a very, very, very fun day. It always is a very fun day. Would love to see you guys out there playing and having some fun, having some cocktails with us and whatever. It's a holiday, June 19th, so we'd love to see you.
Our company holiday as well. Yep. So we weren't going to be on the air that day either way, but now you can still spend the day with Ben and Woods by coming out to the Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open. One more golf before we move on, because Jon Rahm came out with some comments that angered a lot of the golf world. He's obviously there at Valhalla in Kentucky getting ready for the PGA Championship. Took the money, went to LIV last year, was one of the staunchest supporters of the PGA Tour, and got into a little back and forth in his pre-tournament news conference and said something that shocked some people. Here's Jon Rahm yesterday.
It's going to be almost a year now since the PGA Tour and LIV came together, or PIF came together with a framework agreement that is still sitting there on the sidelines. Obviously, when you went over, you had certain thoughts about why you went. You see now what seems to be somewhat disarray going on in the PGA Tour, Rory wanting to get back on the board, not getting back on the board, Jimmy Dunn leaving yesterday off the board saying that his voice is no longer valuable to the board. When you're looking from the other side, which is where you are now, what are your thoughts?
So you guys keep saying the other side, but I'm still a PGA Tour member, whether suspended or not. I still want to support the PGA Tour. And I think that's an important distinction to make. I don't feel like I'm on the other side. I'm just not playing there. That's at least personally.
He doesn't think
I wouldn't know what to say because it would just be not hearsay, but hypothetical. Because I don't
know.
Okay,
let me just pause it there. So John Rahm doesn't think he's on the side of LIV Golf. He doesn't think that taking $500 million and playing for LIV. Don't paint me into that corner. Don't put me on the side of LIV Golf. I'm still a PGA Tour member. If they hadn't suspended me, I'd still be playing on the PGA Tour. Why would you say I'm on the other side? Well, this did not sit well in the golf community. And one person who had something to say about it, former PGA Tour pro and commentator Aaron Oberholzer, had this to say on the Golf Channel a little bit later. Listen to this.
Oh, go. Is there more audio?
Yeah, the second clip that I sent you. The good one.
Peak, Ben and Woods. Peak. Thanks a lot, Adam Jones. Thanks a lot.
No, we're playing 5 minutes of golf. Your
reaction. He doesn't get it. To this day, he doesn't get it. And this is a guy who wanted a position or wanted to be heard, from what I understand. Either a board position, policy board. He wanted to be heard on this whole thing before he went to LIV. And I feel like he wasn't as heard as much as he probably should have been. And now I'm glad he wasn't in that position because he doesn't get it. As a PGA Tour player and as a PGA Tour member, still a card-carrying PGA Tour member and someone who supports the PGA Tour, not happy with what's going on right now, obviously, but supports the PGA Tour, I'm incensed by that, quite honestly, by the level of, to your point, of naivete, that you don't get it. You still don't get it. You took 500 large, and then you're going to sit there and tell me, oh, you still feel like a PGA Tour member? I want to support the PGA Tour, and I want the I want to wring his neck through the television. I'm that mad right now. I'm that mad. And every player in that locker room right now, if they watch that, should be on the PGA Tour, should be absolutely incensed with him.
Wow. Pause. I want to have my cake.
Pause, wow. Pause, pause. Wow, wow, wow.
Now, if we've learned anything about this entire 15 minutes, is that I think the thing that we can glean from it, Ben has really different definitions of what spicy is than me, Paul, the majority of our audience. Thanks.
I don't know. You don't think that threatening to wring someone's neck is spicy?
Coming up next.
I would have rather just replayed Adam Jones's interview from last week.
Coming up next, milk. The hottest drink in the land. I don't know how to
That
recover.
Does qualify for spicy in the world of golf. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about that. That qualifies as very spicy in golf.
I'm in a death spiral. Right now, I'm in a death spiral. Okay. We just regroup it. That's why we have the hard 8 a.m. reset. And
should I feel
we
insulted? Have a gift
no,
right now?
No, it's not your fault.
We have a gift for Ben.
We do have a gift over to us.
And I don't know that he deserves it now.
Somebody found this.
It's great content. And I'm like, I think it needs to wait until tomorrow.
I think we have to play it to pull ourselves out of...
Did I really do something wrong
No,
there?
You didn't do anything wrong. You did not do anything wrong.
No, you're authentically yourself.
You are always you, and for that, I love you.
I was very intrigued by that story yesterday.
I know you were. Coming up next, milk is spicy, actually, on Ben and Woods. Why water is not good for you.
All right, we're back next on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune
I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.